The question was asked.
Other nations, and why is he putting us in jeopardy of other nations?
Okay. The question was asked, why did God create non-Jews? And
just general, like, why non-Jews?
Why non-Jews? Why are there non-Jews in the world? So the best answer I could give you is to take a book over here. There's the Arya Kaplan Anthology. And in there you have a book which is really a very entertaining book. It's probably the most entertaining book that I encountered in my youth. It's called If You Were God. The book just takes you on...
Arya Kaplan,
yeah. Here we have the anthology. I'll show you. Whenever we discuss a question of why, so we're entering a realm which, if our sages told us exactly, so we know. And if they didn't tell us exactly, so we could infer sometimes, and sometimes we cannot. Any question of why about God, we have to recognize that we are limited and God is limitless. So if I'm going to give you a simple answer, I can give you an answer which is part of the perspective that God wants us to have as to what their job is. But at the same time, we have to recognize that whatever answer I'm going to give you is limited. And so it is not all-encompassing. So any question we ask, why did God do this? Why did God create the world? Why did God create bad in the world? Why did God create suffering in the world? I can give you answers. But every answer I'm going to give you is limited, fashioned to our limited minds. And it is not the essence of the truth. It is the perspective we could and should have to this, to the truth. There are a few understandings as to the role of non-Jews in the world. The Torah tells us on the one hand, we don't encourage anyone to become Jewish. On the other hand, the best thing for a person is to be Jewish. We sometimes think the best thing for me to be is to be Jewish because I'll get more in the world to come. That's true. But that's not the only reason why the best thing for me in the world is to be Jewish. Imagine you construct a new machine. You construct a machine that can climb buildings, right? Now, your five-year-old kid comes into the room and says, how do you work this? So you say, here, I'll explain to you how it works and how you work it. So the kid says, no, let me try that, right? So he sits there and starts pulling the gears and he's climbing this way and that way. He says, wait, don't fall off. You got to buckle yourself. You got to be careful, this, that. Who understands the machine better? He'll tell you, I understand. I figured out how it works. You'll say, no, but you don't understand. If you go in water, this will happen. If you stay out in the sun too long, that'll happen. There are so many aspects that you don't understand. From his perspective, he understands it. Ask any human being, how should I live in this world? So he'll tell you, look, I'm thinking about it, but in general, I understand to be a good person means you don't infringe on other people's rights, you don't hurt other people. I have a basic grasp of what it means to be a good person. That's like the kid who's with this complex machine that you've invented, and he says, I have a grasp of how it works. You, who made the machine, you could tell him everything about the machine, everything you know about the machine, and even you're limited in your knowledge because you don't know yet to anticipate everything. God created the world. God says, I know what this world is. When I created the world, I wrote a blueprint. I read off the blueprint, I created the world. What's the blueprint? Torah. We have one tradition that before God created the world, God created the Torah. God created the Torah and then said, okay, based on the Torah, I'm creating the world. The Torah is the blueprint for the world. The Gra's disciples once asked him, you said everything is alluded to in the Torah. So tell us, where does it say Rambam in the Torah? So the Gra thought, and the Gra says, well, it says that God put the Jews in Egypt, lema'an, for the sake of revot moftai be'eretz Mitzrayim, to make many wondrous things in the land of Egypt. Revot moftai be'eretz Mitzrayim is an acronym Rambam. We know the Rambam was in Egypt. The Ramban had a disciple, and this disciple left the fold. He left the Jewish faith. He became a priest. And one Yom Kippur, he sends word. He was a very important bishop. He sends word to the Ramban, and he calls him out of synagogue, and he says, I want you to come before me. So the Ramban can't fight I mean, he's got power, and the Ramban knows that the governing authorities are with the Christians. So he leaves the shul on Yom Kippur, and he comes before this disciple. The disciple's name was Avner. This story isn't just a story written somewhere. It is recorded in Drashot Rabbi Yoshua ibn Shu'ib, who was a disciple of the Rashba, who was a disciple of the Ramban. So you're talking about it was recorded a generation later. And it's a famous story. You guys know the story? So the Ramban comes before him, and the disciple, he's a bishop now, he says all kinds of nasty things to the Ramban, and then he says, you know why I left Judaism? Because when I was in your class, you once gave a lecture, and you said, every Jew is mentioned in the Parsha of Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu is the song that God tells Moshe, teach the Jewish people, every Jew should memorize it, so that whatever happens to them in the future, they'll know I told them it's going to happen. Everything they happen, when the Holocaust happens, you look in the Ha'azinu, there's a reference to it. Everything that happens, they can find in Ha'azinu. Every Jew has to memorize Ha'azinu. You said that, I walked out of class and said, this is ridiculous, impossible. And I'll prove it to you, he tells the Ramban. Where am I listed in Ha'azinu? You show me. You tell me everyone's there, where am I? So the Ramban never told him he could show him where every Jew is listed. But now this bishop is putting him on the spot in the middle of Yom Kippur. So the Ramban says, let me try. He goes to the corner and he starts praying. And he starts thinking. And the Ramban is thinking, going over Parshas Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu is the second to last Parsha in the Torah, right? And the Torah says, Amalti af ehem ashbita me'enosh zicham. I said, God says, I will banish them after they've sinned so much. I will banish them and make them forgotten from all of humanity. The third letter of each of those words spells out Avner. He told them, that verse alludes to you. God says, he sinned so much, I will abolish him, and we'll have to continue the story. Bezrat Hashem after Mincha. Ashbita, af ehem, the third letter is Aleph. Ashbita, the third letter, Aleph Shin Beis, is Beis. Me enosh, Parshas Ha'azinu. Me enosh, it's Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chav Vav, the 32nd chapter, the 26th verse. Me enosh, Mem Aleph Nun, the third letter is Nun. Zichram, Zain Chafresh, their memory will be banished from mankind. The third letter is Resh, spells out Avner's name. So Avner is in the middle of Yom Kippur. He just called in the Ramban from his Yom Kippur prayer to tell him how he doesn't believe. And the reason he doesn't believe was since his youth, when he heard this story, he said it's impossible that his name shows up in Ha'azinu. And the Ramban just showed him how his name not only shows up, but it shows up in this striking verse that says, they've sinned so much that I will banish them. So Avner is struck, and he looks at his Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I take it back. What do I do now? I want to come back. Avner went on a ship, set sail into the sea without oars, and he erected on the ship a noose, and he set up the ship in a way that he could perform on himself all the four different death penalties that the high court would have administered. And he said, I deserve all of them, and I want God to accept my forgiveness. Now, I download Shiurim from the web, and I listen like to and fro. And when I'm traveling, I'm listening to Shiurim. So I once heard a beautiful Shiur about this story. I don't remember who said it, so I can't quote it in his name. Our sages say you should always quote something in a person's name. So I don't remember who it was that said this thought, but it's not my own. But I think it's a beautiful thought. He said, in Judaism we find that the first letter, you could have an acronym, right? Gematria Rashi Tevos. You could have an acronym, right? Taryag is a gematria. And when we say the Ten Commandments on Pesach, we say Ditzach Adash Be'achav corresponds to Dam Tzedek Kinim, right? That's an acronym, right? The first letter can correspond to the whole word. When we write Aleph, it could correspond to Hashem's name, right? When we write Yud, it could correspond to Hashem's name. The last letter sometimes can correspond to the whole word. But you never find the third letter corresponding to anything. So what was the Ramban telling him? What message was Avner supposed to get from the Pasuk? The third letter of each of these destructive words, these words that describe destruction, the third letter spells out Avner's name. What's the message? The first letter doesn't, the last letter doesn't, because Avner has a beginning. Every Jew has a beginning. We all begin in our mother's womb, and we're pure, and we learn all of the Torah. And he has an end. Ki kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. It's only this period that we're here, where we're given the responsibility to move forward, that Avner managed destroying. So the third letter corresponds to the part that he could touch. He could touch here. He couldn't touch his past, his roots, so it wasn't the first letter, because his roots, he couldn't change. He was born Jewish. And his end, well, we try to affect that as best as possible, but he still had that portion that was promised to every Jew that he also couldn't touch. So the Pasuk only alluded to Avner in the third letter of each word. The third letter spelled out Avner because in this world, really, Avner did terrible things. So this is the beginning of understanding the question that Yaron asked. What is the purpose? So first we have to understand the concept of a Jew and our purpose here. Then we can move forward from there to the concept of, well, then why didn't God create everyone Jews? And we'll work our way from there, Bezachem, at a future time.